Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
And be glorified that in the name of Jesus, you will be lifted high and that all glory will return to you. Be satisfied with our worship this morning. May our songs bring pleasure to your heart. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's read from Leviticus chapter 17. From verse 10. Let's look at the King James Version. Can we celebrate the sounds of refuge? Amen. God bless you, Joseph. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, and I want you to know that when God is speaking about the house of Israel, he is referring to the covenanted people in the Old Testament. So if God were to repeat this scripture today, he would be talking to Christians. He said, or of the strangers that sojourn amongst you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eats blood, and I will cut him off from among the people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the souls. Let's have a seat. The first thing I would like to share with us this morning, and I'm very conscious of the fact that even though we are in Maryland, there are several people across the world that tune in to listen to us, and sometimes it's very humbling. Some of the people that reach out from, different parts of the world. So we cannot afford to be careless or waste that spiritual capital, knowing that what is coming out from here is providing a lot of guidance and measurement standard for certain people. The Spirit of God was very clear when he said that if there is a man amongst us, or peradventure a sojourner. A sojourner is like someone that is a visitor. He's a stranger, but he lives amongst you. God expects that if somebody lives in your house, the person must uphold the same standard that you maintain. You cannot leave Iran, for instance, and come to Canada and you're asking for Sharia. You cannot. You can stay in your country and do that. When somebody has been magnanimous towards you, you don't come to them insisting that, you want to eat a certain type of food, edikaikon or something, when you know that these people they are not from that tribe. So if you want to do that, go to the market, buy it yourself, and ask for permission. Can I use your gas? God expects that as covenanted people, not only should we live by a certain standard, but we must mandate those who live within our space to uphold the same standard, because if Satan cannot get through to you, he will use someone around you. Now, you may also want to appreciate and understand that the consumption of blood was not something that was alien to the people of those days. Many religions uphold or upheld the practice of blood consumption. And even today, in many world religions and secret cults, you are mandated in some form or the other to drink blood. The reason why you don't know is because you have been in church all your life. Those who are in that circle, they know. I listened to a popular American artist on interview. She was on camera and she said, "Oh, I drink the blood of children." She said it live camera and she wasn't canceled. This, like your popular, I won't mention her name because I don't want to dignify them this morning, because they need help. Somebody is put on camera and say, "Well, say, yeah, I order for it, you know, there's a place where we get it." Can you hear that? Somebody is priming your children. They are watching these things on YouTube. A popular artist, movie star. This is someone that if you look at her, she's extremely attractive. She says, no, I take blood. The person in the generic sense say no, like literally. That is one of the reasons why she has maintained her youth. Just because it is popular doesn't mean you will not invoke God's judgment. Just because it is something that is now acceptable doesn't mean the wrath of God will not come upon you. The scripture says the wrath of God will come upon the children of disobedience. Which means, and I don't know if we have the opportunity, I would have loved to tell us the clear differences between sin, iniquity, and transgression. We use them interchangeably, right? But I hope you know they are different. God says, "I will set my face against that soul that consumes blood." That's what God says. So, personally, the question the pragmatic version of me would have wanted to ask God is, why are you bothered? Somebody feels like drinking blood. Somebody takes hibiscus tea. I mean, what does it matter? It's all red. I think if I ever joined a secret court, they will just ask me to live in peace, because I can't. They'll just say, "You know what? You are not made for this," because I can't stand the sight of blood. So the only blood I can see is my own. I can't see any. I don't love you that much to see your blood. So if I join the, but once they start sharing the thing, they'll say, "You know what? Go. You are blessed, but don't come again. How much do you want? Take $300 million. I know you are supposed to give us somebody from it, but don't worry, just go. You are sincere. You can't drink. You can't do what we do. So just go. Go. We know your heart. Shamalo. Just go. Just go." I say, "Thank you. Where's the money?" There is a lot of blood covenants, oaths that have been entered into. And there are two very powerful covenants that I know that you can't easily walk away from, even if you think you can. You cannot walk away from a sexual covenant easily. And you cannot walk away from a blood oath easily. Sexual covenant there denotes that if you are sexually intimate with somebody, you have entered a covenant with that person. Even if you are planning to marry the person. And this is the result of many family crises. So they crossed a line even before they got married. After all, we are going to get married. So a lot of people don't know. They are playing with fire. Then the pastor will be praying, casting out devils. The line was crossed. And because now, after all, they still got married, we don't want to overemphasize that part. We just say, okay, let's be praying. But if you want me to be very honest with you, the moment you crossed that line, what happened was not just sex, it was covenant. In the spiritual realm, what it means to be married is to have sex. So you cannot say simply because you are 35, 36, and you are feeling choked up, just want to blow some steam. Then Jesus will say to you, you have had 5 husbands, and some have more than 5. That woman was, her record is not so high. It's not just sex. It's covenant. And in covenant, there is usually an exchange. So if you don't like, if you are not sure what you might pick up, maybe it's madness. Or poverty. You may want to advise yourself based on the fact that you are the only male child in your family to stay away. You can inherit and exchange battles. When you enter into a blood covenant, you exchange your weakness for the strength of the other person. And that's why you find certain people who say, oh, in our religion, we don't take blood transfusion. They have a point in a way, just that they are overdoing it. Because when somebody's blood is given to you, you have that person's essence. Yeah. You can wake up and start loving the person. You can wake up and develop abilities you didn't know you had. Because the scripture says the life of the flesh is in the blood. What makes that person who is was what was given to you. So imagine that they had to, God forbid, they had to, yeah, Pastor, they say you are O positive. Can you? I say, why? I give you, no problem. Then you wake up, just say, Pastor, I just feel like greeting you. Ah, every night you want to greet me. What? Come, don't greet me again. You say, I just want to know. Not, and she's just sincere. Just want to check on you. Say, Pastor, I'm having prophetic dreams, visions. Do you know how much time I've spent? Even as I'm preaching, I'm speaking in tongues. Now, I've told you, you have to learn how to compartmentalize your mind to do different things at the same time. And it's easier for you ladies because you guys know how to multitask. You just be seeing visions. And your visions will be accurate too. But after some time, maybe I will tell, please, can you return my blood? Because the way you are going, you will soon take over this church. It's not just blood, it's covenant. Man never had blood until God breathed into him. Say, man became a living soul. Don't share blood with anybody you don't really love. There are people abroad, they give blood just to make money. I hope your blood is good, spiritually and otherwise, because if there is a curse in your bloodline, it sounds casual, but I want you to think about it. If God says don't ingest, and you are taken to the hospital and giving blood, I'm not saying you cannot take blood transfer. I'm just asking you to think. The hospital will scan the blood for HIV, infections, hepatitis, and all, but they didn't check. They have no equipment to validate if there are causes. In verse 11, the scripture says, for the life of your flesh, of the flesh, is in the blood. That means the blood is not the life. The blood is a container that houses that life. He said, and I have given it to you upon where? So the place where the blood becomes valuable is where you transact with it. He said, I've given it to you upon the altar as what? An atonement. That means if someone has sinned in the ancient days, if someone has sinned and is worthy of death, if it is a destiny matter, the only thing, currency, that can be used to pay is what? Is blood. When you get married to someone, part of the things you share is blood. It's just that you don't know. You are so carnal, you don't think about it. But I came to remind you that part of what you have been sharing with that person for the last 3 years, 4 years, is blood. That's why when people say they are divorced, I ask, from how? From what? What does it take to be divorced? It's on paper. But spiritually, are you really divorced? You lived with someone for 10 years, slept on the same bed for 10 years, went to the kitchen together, gisted, went to pick him or her at the office, did stuff together, paid school fees, went into the labor room with her. And you think a paper. You think a paper. Because one drunk man with a cigar in his hand signed the divorce certificate. You think that is strong enough to annul a marriage? Yeah, before the law, it is. In the spiritual realm, you have complicated your matter. How do you take back your 10 years that you invested? If you say you want to divorce, take everything back now. It's better to open your eyes, choose well, and make sure the person's head is correct. If you're, God forbid, if a man says, I'm leaving you, I'm walking away, what do you think your first response should be? And both of you are Christians. What do you think? Huh? Pray. Pray that what? Please, what will your response? Someone says, I'm done. I'm walking away. What? She said, pray. It should pay you. Oh my God. But the boss, she said, pray. She said, pay. But the boss starts with P. Sir, talk to me. What would be the first, your first, as a spiritual person, what would be your first response? Huh? Huh? Why? I said you're a spiritual person. You are asking for someone. Do you think the day she came to you was the day she thought about it? You don't know how deep women are. They are so deep, they don't even understand themselves. If you know how deep a woman is, you will not play with a woman. Yes. They can see you 10 steps ahead. Even before you think you like her, she already knows. She's just laughing at you that I knew you would come. The only way to confuse a woman is to give her mixed signals. Yeah. Let's go back to our message. She said, pray. If God brought two of you together, your best option is to go and report him. There's a demon inside his head. Yes. You can't get it out because one of the signs there's a demon is that a person will become unreasonable. Say your son. I don't know how he woke up this morning, but I came to report him. If he still has one flame from the Holy Spirit burning somewhere in him, hand him over. You are fighting your battle. That's why you are struggling. Hand him over to the person that can undo him. There was nothing Mary could say that could convince Joseph, but an angel showed up. You and who is Holy Spirit? You and who? You and who? Hey, go and marry her. You look at the face of the angel, you arrange yourself. So you can imagine Joseph standing at the altar. I will love you. I will forever till death do us part. And it's not because he wanted to. An angel to say, if he tried to say, he will look back and see the angel. Oh yeah, I swear. I'm here now. I'll slap you. Swear. Marry. And the angel stayed long enough to get them safely to Egypt and left him. Say, now you are okay. Continue to take care of her. Life is about covenant. When you live life cheaply, you become a victim of circumstances. When you think it just happened, nothing just happens. Everything is programmed. You are in a matrix. You are being programmed. And this subject of the blood is why certain people are extremely potent and powerful in the spiritual realm, because they know how to use the blood. And that's why one of the major doctrines against the Christian faith today is centered around the blood of Jesus. Oh, you can't use the blood of Jesus. Oh, you can't plead. So what should I do with it? You have not seen battle. If you have not met the devil, they have never opened your fire. You've been in a safe spot for a while. And today I want to show us from scripture a legal framework, position, a case for the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus, you must understand it in two ways. Number one, legally. Number two, operationally. If you only understand, if you don't understand it from a legal position, you will struggle with the operational and be arguing with your keypad. I've seen people who stood against some of these things I'm saying, and they even preached in a global stage, and people were hailing them. But I remember what he told me about his father, and I'm seeing the same thing in his life. But he's a preacher. Your bloodline is something you cannot deny easily. Nobody knows your face in the spiritual realm. They know your bloodline, and you have to. One is spiritual, one is natural. Your spiritual bloodline is traced to those who claim ownership of you. In your own case, Jesus. The second is your natural bloodline, your family, which is why no matter how rebellious you are, it takes a lot of time for your dad to say, I disown you. It takes a lot of time. That is why it's very difficult for a re-Christian to backslide. It's very difficult. Open the floodgates of your mercy today. Will you open to me? Open the floodgates of your mercy today. Will you open to me? Open the floodgates of your mercy today. My body and soul, say, my body and soul, will you open to me? Floodgates of your mercy today. Will you open to me? Open
the floodgates of your mercy today. Will you open to me?
Open the floodgates
of your mercy. This is my prayer, oh God. Will you open to me?
Open the floodgates of your mercies today.
My body, my soul, I Akala Mirakala Lama Santa. There is healing in the house. Say my body. My eyes
open,
hey, will you open to me?
Open
the floodgates
of
your mercy
today.
Will you open to me? Hallelujah. That song was for your healing. Amen. You know, we have to get used to that. If you're in this church, you can easily switch between messages and singing. Because I remember the first time in the, you know, when we sang this song, you know, in those days, I don't know what they do now, but when the choir meets for rehearsal, we don't really rehearse songs. Busa used to be in the choir. Lola, you know, in those days, we would just sit in a circle. And we would just sing as this song came out, you know, in that, it wasn't rehearsed or practiced. We were just worshiping and I started singing this song. And that was it. For years, songs that change the heart don't come from the head. They come from the spirit. It's not like, you take this song first, then take the second song. We just sit in a circle or sit in a corner in the church and we just worship. And some of those who have been here, peace for a while, you remember those days. We fall under the anointing in the choir rehearsal. Like, we fall under the anointing. It's a service on its own. And maybe if they decide to go back to that, I'll come back to the choir. That scripture I read to you, what is the legal position there? And I want you to write this down. Without blood, there is no atonement. Without blood, you cannot pay for any debt. Anything you are owing in the spirit realm, you cannot. The currency of the spirit realm is blood. So there are three things I want you to put down here. The blood can be used for atonement. It can be used for covenant sealing. Sealing. S-E-A-L. Seal. Covenant sealing. To seal something. Number three, it can be used for protection. So the first one that we just considered in Leviticus chapter 17 is on the subject of atonement. The next time, you see, many times we are trying to fast and pray. We are trying to, in quote, buy our deliverance, but it has been paid for. Your deliverance has been what? It has been paid for. And what God expects you to do is to insist that it has been paid for. Satan tries to touch your child, tell him, don't, you can't fight a spirit with muscles. Insist, you cannot touch my child. This one is purchased, bought, atoned for in the blood of Jesus. You have to insist. Many of us are so skillful in the subject of fear, as against being skillful in the matter of faith. And you see, both concepts take the same level of energy from you. So if you refuse to develop faith, you are automatically developing fear. Why not invest your energy into becoming proficient in the use of faith, so that when you stand, the Bible said, having done all, stand therefore. Standing there is insisting, not on how you feel, but what the word of God has said. It is documented, therefore it is a law. You can't touch my child. You can't touch my husband. You can't touch my wife. And you are not just being emotional. You are not in the universe. Not that mood here. Because for every... You don't come to court. Look, you may cry in court, but I hope you know the judge doesn't rule on tears. In fact, the judge may know you are right, but you will go to jail. Many have gone to jail because of their lawyer, not because they didn't have a good case. I hope you know in Nigeria, if your doctor tells you, you just need to rest, that's a dangerous signal. The doctors take courses in psychology before they graduate. That course in psychology is not for them to be empathetic. It is for them to break bad news to people. I'm sorry we lost him. Have you also noticed that the moment they make that statement, they walk away? It is the training. It's only acting the script. Because they have told them the person could jump on you, tear your shirt, attack you, whatever. So even if she faints while he's there, he needs to walk away first. Let the nurses take her to the room. Then he will come back. Because we all die. How you choose to die is now your own problem. So if they tell you, don't worry, you just need to rest, please call another doctor. They can tell you there's nothing, you are perfectly fine, but you know you are not fine. And that person is not the possession of your fine. So you have to define or look for where your fine is. And if this man has been working 3 shifts and you suddenly were unlucky to fall into his hands at the last shift, and he tells you, madam, you are fine, you better go on Google or go look for another doctor, because you know that on the inside of you something is wrong and you can't shake that feeling off, and your gut feeling doesn't usually deceive you. So without blood, there is no atonement. And God set the rule himself. God set the rule himself. That's why Satan in 2025 will continue to ask for people to bring their mothers if they want to be rich. Secondly, the blood has a function for covenant sealing. In Exodus chapter 24 verse 8, very quickly, Exodus 24, 8. Ayolua, I hope I will see your note after this service. All right. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you. The Lord made with you a covenant between God and the people, established by blood, not by words. Not by words alone, by blood. What is the legal position here? it is the blood that binds the covenant. Without it, the agreement is worthless. In the spiritual realm. That is why when people get married, the next thing they tell them is not to dance. You have to, in ancient times, especially if you are royalty, they will wait at your door. You will go in with your wife or your husband. Because that blood is what now ratifies that you are married. It's not what we do today that we don't even know what's going on anymore. People just do what they like and say, in Christ, all is forgiven. It's forgiven now. Who am I? If God says it's forgiven, who am I to say it's not forgiven? But I hope you've not shared your soul everywhere. Because when you are hooked to five men and even the sixth one, it's not your husband. It was not just that you were cohabiting. You were sharing your soul. And then the guy who eventually gets married to you has nothing left. He has just like 10% of you. And he's wondering, this lady, I expect more from her. She has shared the soul. You are the one who thought it was just sex. It wasn't you. It was a conversation for soul sharing. You knew what was going to happen before you went to his house. Why are you acting crazy like you didn't know? You just thought you wanted to look at Python and Java and C++ and SQL. And why are you behaving suddenly like you wanted to teach you one recipe? You knew what there's not. We don't teach people nothing here. We destroy what God has started. That's what people Before I became a Christian, I was being trained, primed. I don't think if I was not a Christian, I would have been a neutral person. I don't think so. I think God just gave a order. Go and get that one for me. Whether he likes it or not, just drag him. My mentors then were priming me with one word. Every lady who says she's a Christian is a liar. And it is your job to prove that they are liars. That's the way. I can mention my discipler. He says, so when you go to the church, look at the music team, look at the ushers, music, especially music and ushers. He say, look at them. Say, your job is to ensure, prove, confirm again that they are all liars. If you know the target Satan placed on your back from the day you were born, you'll stop playing games. You are a target. The same way God said, before you were formed your mother's womb, I knew you. Satan also placed a target on your back. You are the one thinking you have time. The scripture said Moses sprinkled the blood upon who? Upon the people, and said, behold, he now spoke. Listen. The blood that he sprinkled was the blood of animals. He didn't just sprinkle it. He spoke. Hello? And someone comes to you and says, you cannot plead the blood of Jesus. What was Moses doing? Do you know that this particular blood of animals was representative of the blood of Jesus? It was a type and shadow. But Moses didn't just sprinkle it. He spoke certain words. What were the words he spoke? He said, behold, look at this. Look at the blood of the covenant. This is the blood with which God entered into a union with you. This is why God is so passionate about you. Behold, tell your neighbor, behold. Every time Satan tries to take your attention away from your deliverance. Tell him, behold. Look at him. Look at the blood that flowed from Calvary. Look at it. It's still flowing for me. This blood is not exhausted. This blood is still available for my children. This blood is still available for my husband. It's available for my mother who is sick at home. It's available for my father. This blood is... He said, behold, don't take your eyes off the blood. The blood brought you this far. Don't take your eyes away. The devil's job is to take your attention away. It is your job to say, behold, the blood of the covenant. Majem, wejem, majem. That word is very strong. You know, English language is very weak in many areas. The word covenant now is only when you are signing away. Maybe when you are signing a guarantor's form that you think. The word covenant is very cheap. That's why someone can get married today and hop out in 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 days. How do you spend 10 million only to be married for 90 days? Does it make sense? If you could spend that amount, you should have bettered your life and stayed unmarried. But that's what I said to somebody. And the person refused to listen. The marriage, the date I gave him, that waited this date, was the period the marriage crashed. I said, wait for 3 months till this period. The marriage did not exceed that period. And the lady threw him out of the house. Because according to him, pastor is not God. And I'm not God. But unfortunately for you, I'm also a prophet. So even if I'm joking with you, it may do you well to consider it at least 50%. Just consider that. But adventure is not playing. There are places you will get to. There are at least two areas you get to where the blood will not cover you. There are at least two areas. Please, plead the blood. Plead it like you are mad. Don't plead it like so. Plead it with understanding. Understand that the blood is a token of covenant. This, what the Israelites even had was far inferior. It's inferior to what you have. Do you know that you are consistently under the blood? As a Christian, you are 24 hour, which is why when you come before God's presence, they don't turn you back. You don't know. When God says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, do you think it was anything you did right? Oh, do you think is that? I said to ask my Lord and say, do you think that's what's making you righteous? The only reason why you are still born again, because God has not changed his mind about you. If God changes mind about you, can confess all you like, you are still going to hell. The blood element is the agreement. Oh, the blood is the agreement God has with every person, with every child of God. The blood is the agreement, the token of agreement he has with you. The moment that thing is not between you again, it's over. You're under the blood. Use it. Provoke it. When you say I'm a child of covenant, you must understand the implication. Because in the spiritual realm, anyone without ownership will be destroyed. Anyone that stands and no one is claiming him. Without the blood, the covenant was worthless. Number 3, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. Alam aleko solade anamara ne masolade. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will what? I will pass over you. And the plague shall not what? It shall not be upon you to destroy you. When I smite the land of Egypt. Do you know that God still judges nations? Even now. God still judges nations. God judges family lines. God also preserves family lines. If there's a family that has honored him so much, God preserves that. No. You know, he said there will not, you will always have a son to be king in your house. Ah, it's a covenant. So it's not a matter of let's calculate. I want us to have a son. It's beyond you. It's beyond you. God promised your forefather that you have a son. Go and sleep. Anytime you are ready, you have a son. Do you know God still enters personal covenants with people? There are people God enters covenant and say, don't tell anybody. But when you say it, you have a target on your back. Put up that scripture. Say, the blood shall be unto you for a token. Now again, I say to you, and please just put this somewhere. Put this somewhere in your note. The counterpart of the blood is the oil. The counterpart of the blood is the oil. I'm making reference to that specifically because in this scripture, they applied a token of the blood from animals. But today we don't use this. So the closest to this is the oil. Are we together? The closest to this scripture now, in terms of anointing your household, is the oil, the anointing oil. Please put up that scripture. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you live or where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So, if the Lord says, I am to deliberately put the blood upon my house or upon my family, how do I do that? Huh? How do I do that? By speaking. I don't need to send another animal to the afterlife. No, all I have to do is, the blood is already available. You can't see it because your spiritual eyes are not active. If you are spiritually enlightened, you will see that you are covered in blood. Yes. That's why God can set you on fire. Yes. If only you knew how powerful God has made you. If only you knew. So what do we do? Put up that scripture. Look at this. God says, if I do not do this, the plague will destroy me. If there was a Jewish man that went into the main heart of the city, when God spoke to everybody and says, stay in your house and anoint your doorpost, that person will be a victim. Because there is nothing, there are not too many things that can bring a man out of the covering of the blood. Number one, rebellion. The moment a Christian turns his back and spits on the covenant on which he was saved and walks away, there is no God. The blood covering will be removed. Now, can I tell you that fighting with that lady sitting beside you now, if you start fighting with her, it will not remove the covering of the blood. Fighting with her is not strong enough to remove the covering of the blood. However, fighting with her can tamper with other things, but it's not strong enough to remove you from the protective cover of the blood. Fighting with your neighbor, your sister in Christ can tamper with your peace. But you see that the blood is stronger than, the blood is a seal of ownership. You see that fight you are fighting. It's you, when people are tired, you settle. Somebody telling you, and you call yourself a Christian, it's not strong enough to remove you from the covering of the blood. I thought you called yourself, sir, can I tell you, you are not the deputy Holy Ghost. Your verdict is invalid. Trying to castigate me and make me feel less of myself. God will not even consider what you are saying because you didn't die. The one who died is the one who can make a final decision. You are not strong enough. You are not your words of witchcraft projected against me simply because you saw me in a compromising place is not even strong enough. You saw me there. I just did like this, and then you caught me. It's still not strong enough. It may tamper with how you perceive me as a Christian. It may tamper with open doors. Don't give her that job. Don't do this. But you see before God. No. If only you know how powerful the blood is. The blood is not subject to the opinion of men. The blood of Jesus, which is God's verdict over you, has no regard for the opinion of men. Because when even Jesus wanted to die, it was an apostle that said, don't die. Peter said, don't die. He tried to prophesy to Jesus. The opinion of men, Jesus did not even consider it. By the senior pastor of the church, Jesus did not listen to Peter. I came to tell you, Jesus did not listen to Peter. The opinion of your pastor cannot remove you from under the covering of the blood. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. That's the pastor. I can only cast you out of my life. I cannot cast you out of God's presence. Amen. It's too much power for one man. However, rebellion. Rebellion can exorcise you. It will just drag you out. And that was what Samuel said to Saul. There is one other thing that can tamper with that covering. Paul teaches us, I think it was Paul, he said we should work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That means there is a way I can continue to live consistently in rebellion against God. My pastor was preaching one day and made a statement. He said, let me not say this thing. Someone will misunderstand it. Let me leave it, because if I say it, that's the only thing somebody will hear in this service. Let me tell you, committing one sin will not remove your name from the book of life. One sin, imagine any sin. I know that one you like. Imagine it. It may not remove your name from the book of life. But you see, you continue to live that way. The scripture said, and when was it? What was it? That brother? Esau. He said, and when he now sought for his birthright earnestly, he was rejected. He had become profane. He made the blood of Jesus of no effect. What the blood of Jesus could have done for you was to lift you into a level, a standard, where you can live righteously like Christ. But you saw the opportunity in the business and you became crooked. And you started working against the counsel of the Lord. And until one day you now got to the gate of heaven and then you heard the words of Jesus, depart from me. I never knew you. How? So you have to watch out for those two aspects. Because the truth of the matter is, when you are living perpetually in sin, the only person that will be talking to you is the Holy Spirit. That's the only person that is saying what makes sense. So that's the only thing you'll be hearing. But you know, you might have also mastered, because a lot of Christians, some of these innocent brothers you are looking at, they are very gentle. They have mastered the art of shutting down the voice of the Holy Spirit. They have learned how to quietly ignore him. And I came to tell you, not all sexual sin is the same.
And I know. Don't find out. Just take my word for it. There are people you get involved with. And the moment you get out of that room, you're like, ah, I have sinned against God. And you start running to church. There are some. If you get out of that room, you will fall. You will wobble and fall. Your spiritual essence, stealers of destinies, you have been sapped. You will leave that house, go back to your room, sit down, and you will say, what have I done? What have I done? This is impossible. 2 hours, you will wear your slippers, you are going back to your house. You don't even know why you are going. You have become manipulated. You become, it's as though there's a pool. You know what you did was a sin, but now you want to experience that sin again. You, the Holy Spirit will be speaking to you. You can't. Yeah. You are being manipulated. The market has been manipulated against you. You are being dragged. You, every voice is screaming, but now all you want is sin. The same way there are people on earth who are custodians of righteousness. There are people who are custodians of sin. You get involved with them, your entire operating system will be messed up. You'll be completely disabled. All your functionalities will be disabled. You begin to struggle. When I handed over as the general secretary of the RCC, Corpus Fellowship, whatever, it was my assistant Kwalida who said to me, said, do you mind, just want to come over to my place, like, you are looking so stressed, you've been, like, now that you've handed over, come and start staying with me. Just want to take care of you. So, not all coppers are the same. Some depend on the allowance. Others, their parents still send money. Their parents don't trust the federal government, so they still send them money. If my child goes for NYC, I will send him money. I don't trust the government. I don't trust the government to take care of my children. So I'll send them money. How much is your allowance? Say for 50,000. Okay, this is extra 50,000. Where are you? At home. Where? Off to church. Straight. Alele. Go to church now. Are you not having fellowship? Go. When you get there, call me. Do a video call. I don't have that time. This Port Harcourt girl, she taught me many things in unrighteousness. She was the assistant choir leader. Assistant. Not even the main choir leader. I was manipulated. Everybody thought as G uncle. We need to give the new leader space to operate. Nobody was looking at us. It was the current choir leader that was leading me astray. She taught me many strange things. Strange things. It's like discipleship. I became afraid. I fear many things, so, and there are some things I fear more than the devil. I was watching myself like this. When I get back home,
uncle, where are you?
She has this very, because she comes from a very rich family in River State.
Why are you ignoring me? Who am I? Who am I?
We have used 1 year to serve them here. Let us prepare for the future. She didn't ask me to sing. She only set the stage.
I said she didn't ask me to sin. She set the stage. That is the way, the day I knew that being scantily dressed is more dangerous than being fully unclad. It was part of what she taught me. Say, when you want to manipulate a man, she told me with her mouth, and she was doing. Ah! I asked myself, which planet have I been living? It didn't stop her. She'll come to church, fellowship, couples, pick the microphone. I will praise him every day. I will praise the Lord. I could not shout. She was not willing to shout. In her mind, she had concluded with me how the moment she is done, I should pack my things and come over to Port Harcourt. And the girl is not bad. I have to be honest with you. For someone that didn't have a father anymore, the schema in me, oh, but I would never have been here. I would never have met you. One day she said to me, well, you seem to be struggling. What's your problem? Like, I'm giving you this on a platter of gold. Why are you struggling? Just, we are adults. So the only thing in my head was, we came this far for this? But this girl was perfect. She was just a goal getter. She knew what she wanted. She knew the challenges in her bloodline, and she felt this kind of person is spiritually equipped. She didn't hide it from me. Say, I love your fire, and I feel with someone like you in my space, you know, I can put the money on the table. You put the anointing on the table. Fine. Do you know why your husband married you? Most women will never know why their husband really married them. It's a secret we take to the grave. We'll tell you what you want to hear. The man took your name somewhere. They said that girl has a glorious destiny. Make sure you marry her. Do you think he will tell you that? Don't know, he always treats you nice. He's nice to you. If he tries to leave you, they will call him. Okay? Your destiny will go down. You better stay close to that girl. You saw the guy behaving himself. You thought it was the Holy Spirit. Women are not the only one with secrets. Why he married you? Oh, you will never know. I can assure you, till you die, you may not know. Don't go home this afternoon and say, hey, why did you? My pastor said, he will just tell you something. I can assure you, he will just tell you something. Oh, time is fast spent. Many years later, I got a call on Facebook. And it was, you know all those names I normally mention? Cassandra, Linda, it's one of those names. Like real name. Oh. I just got a call. Few years later, say, ha, it's been years. I said, yeah. I said, how are you? Say, fine. Said, I can see your post online. I know you are still with the Lord. I said, yes. Say, please, I'm going through this. Could you help me ask the Lord? What do we need to do? I knelt down. Father, thank you. So that was the day I saw the price tag. What the devil wanted was my seeing eyes and my hearing ears. But he never put that in front of me. He made the fancy. And that period, me and my wife, then we were just engaged, we were fighting. That period, extra cool, everything, the relationship almost scattered.
Meanwhile, there's this one saying, teaching me the way of the world. Say, being scantily dressed is more, you know, teaching me the way. I say, ah. So if I had gone with this one, I would have, like Samson, I would have become blind. Then I would not, that thing she saw in me, for which she wanted, she would no longer find that thing there. Then she would start going from prophets to prophets, prophets to prophets. And if peradventure, it was her dad who now gave me the job I was doing, I had become useless to them. You know, then I will also wake up one day, and then one day I will come online and I will see somebody preaching, because somebody else will be in this building. God will send someone else to this Maryland, this church, and I will see the person, and somehow I will keep thinking, that's me. I've been replaced. If your life is under siege, if your destiny is under attack, don't hide under the carpet. Don't hide under the rug. Hold on to the arms of the altar and ask for the intervention of the blood of Jesus. No man will stand before God and enter into those gates on the strength of his own righteousness. Anyone who comes in there has been washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Your destiny is very precious. Don't throw it away. The blood of Jesus sitting over your life has even made your destiny more precious. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. If you are not important, Jesus will not die. Am I saying you cannot make mistake? I'm telling you, don't run away from your helper. Because Satan will start telling you, you have sinned, you cannot come back. You have sinned, you cannot, Jesus will reject you. Ask him, are you Jesus? Say, no, okay. Let me go there and try my luck. Do you know why Jesus cannot turn his back on you easily? He has invested. And there are many people watching me now. Some of them are online, some of them are here. And you have that secret. That secret. There is that matter that you keep remembering. That just only you and God knows. And the devil. Bring it out. Bring it out. Let the blood deal with it. You cannot, God will not forgive you if you keep calling it a mistake. But he will forgive you if you call it a sin. The blood of Jesus is not for mistake, it's for sin. If it's mistake, go and apologize to the person. I'm sorry for stepping on you. If it's sin, then the blood of Jesus is what you need. Let him remove the guilt. Let him remove the shame. Jesus said to that woman, she was on the floor, say, who has condemned you? Those guys who were standing, didn't they condemn her? They wanted to stone her. Is that not so? They wanted Jesus to validate what they were about to do. Is that not so? But when Jesus sent all of them away, Jesus expected the answer not to be based on our previous experience, but on what is happening right now. Madam, who has condemned you? She lifted her head, looked around, couldn't see any of them, and she said, no one. When they ask you, what right do you have to stand there and tell us all these things? Stand up, look around. No one has condemned me. There is no, the witnesses are not in court. Hey. The witnesses were not allowed to come in. Those who have the evidence against you, they didn't come to the court of heaven. They were prevented at the gate because they didn't come in with thanksgiving. They didn't come into his court to praise. So they were not allowed to come in. So they were kept out. They have the record, but it's not valid. It's useless because in the heavens, no record. When Jesus asked her, who has condemned you? That is a legal term being used. She looked around, said, no one.
And then the judge of the whole earth now says, even I do not judge you. Was he excusing what she did? He was setting her free. He is the lover of your soul. My love for you can change, but not Jesus. Not Jesus. My love for you can change, not Jesus. Jesus told me, in the year, maybe 11. Said, if you want to be happy in your marriage, use my love. The love you know about, the one you found in me, use it to love her. That's what he said to me. Because I didn't have what it took to love a person for more than 2 weeks. No matter how special you are. I was damaged from when I was a child. Damaged. So for me, love had a new definition. And it was not longevity. So somewhere I already knew that I would not be married for a long time. I already knew. But Jesus said, I can help you. Use my love, agape love, to love her. And I look back now, and I realize that now, because we courted for 8 years and we'll be married for 15. That's 23 years to know only one person. Now I look back and I realize that when Jesus said, use my love, I look back now as I'm speaking to you and I realize that not only was I able to love her, I am now able to love every other person. That decision to walk in love healed me, delivered me, and made it possible for me to love even those that are around me. But before now, you have max 2 weeks. Let me tell you, those with the highest reward are those who know the language of God's love. When we get to heaven, those who know what the blood of Jesus did for them. Before you begin to plead it and bind and loose, why not appreciate the value of the blood of Jesus? That blood is useful for everything. There is nothing in the heavens more prized than the blood of Jesus. That blood is holy. If it touches anything red, it will become white. If it touches anything black, it will become white. Yet in its own nature, it is not white, it is red. When you get to heaven, you will not wear this clothes. You will wear a white flowing gown. But it's not because you have been keeping that gown. It's because the blood preserved it. Ima kusono biyefi mumi deleho ima kusono biyefi mumi deleho. Let's rise up on our feet and pray. We are going to plead the blood of Jesus. And you are going to release your soul from unresolved conversation. Unresolved conversations. Things that you know happen that are only known to you. Things that you know somewhere in your mind that thing is still there, but it's a secret. I want us to bring the blood to address it. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Ask the blood of Jesus. Bring everything before the blood. Don't hide anything. Let the blood of Jesus visit every area of your life that is covered, secret, everything that is shameful to you that you cannot bring out into the public, let the blood of Jesus address it this morning. As the Lord, the blood of Jesus, to begin to buy your soul back from wherever it has been wasted. As that the blood of Jesus will begin to flow, cleansing you, recovering your soul from wherever it has been wasted. Plead the blood of Jesus this morning and ask for help. Ask for the mercy of God in the blood of Jesus. If you mean it, the Lord will intervene. I want us to settle some things this morning before we enter into a season of praise. Our Lord Jesus said, "He who the Son of God makes free is free indeed." Listen, if there is any area of your life where you have prayed and you have fasted and the problems were still there, it is because there are legal entities involved in the matter. There are spirits that have been given permission through your disobedience to come into your life, and they have not left. They are still there in a corner, even though you are given a level of relief, but they were still there. You've done everything you knew to do, but you are still bound. It is because laws have been broken. Legal entities have been introduced. But today we ask that the blood of Jesus, will flow for the cleansing and redemption, to remove every scar, every yoke, every affliction. We ask that the blood of Jesus will flow, bringing deliverance in the name of Jesus. Peradventure, those things were done against you as a child. Today we ask for the mercy of the blood to flow. Say, even though your sins are as red as scarlet, He said, I will make them white as snow. This is what the blood of Jesus can do. So we ask this morning, for every law that has been instituted against us in the spirit realm, to be set aside. We ask that every legal entity that has invaded our space by reason of laws that were broken, we ask that there will be a washing by the blood of Jesus. We plead 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 the blood of Jesus. I saw chains being taken off a particular person right now. I saw big handcuffs and leg cuffs, they were taken off, and I saw someone being released. The person was not released from the prison, she was released from the darkness. I saw her emerge out of the darkness. And I saw your garment being given back to you. I saw your staff of authority being presented back to you. Alemarakatani kasopatalia. Kalamara patosetala. Shagada bale soporote kasa. Please tap this lady. Please stand. I'm not sure if we've met before, but the Lord is talking to me about you. Just listen to me, huh? Ayamalena sayana naya. Kolemeno sobalane. Oriana sayana. Eliana siye. Olia sayo. Olia raniye. Kushanea. Elia masudeye. Elia raniya. Uzanede. Please look at me, sister. I spoke about a lady. There is somebody. Now I'm seeing two people being released. You see, let me tell you, I need only your faith this morning. I saw someone else come out of that darkness. Listen, I saw someone else come out of that darkness. There is no case against you that will stand. We plead the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. There is no case against you. They took your words and said, oh, you said this. There is no case against you that will stand from today. Every record will be expunged. In the name of Jesus.
Open the floodgates of your mercy today. Open to me.